Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel. We're holding at the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we had just gotten up to the words Ish Yodi Haya Shoshana Birah, and then it goes through the whole pasuk, and it traces him back, but it doesn't trace him back properly. It just jumps around from one generation to another generation. Either you're going to go straight, or you're not going to go straight, or you can't make a pasuk that just arbitrarily puts in the names of some generations and leaves out others. So how do you explain this exactly? Says the Gemara, look, make up your mind. Either you're going to be, you're tracing this guy back, my comma. If you're going to trace back his yichus, then trace it back straight. Don't skip around and go back to Binyamin. The ox of Yazil ad Binyamin, which is not the only kash, because the Mefarshim explained. But it's not just that we don't go all the way back to Binyamin. It's also that we don't seem to be consistent in going through the generations. I mean, we go from Shimi and then Ben Kish, but the fact is that Shimi is not a Ben Kish. So it's very strange. Maishnahani. So it must be Tana Kulan Ashmo Nikra'u. These are names, which we're going to see in a moment, that that's the derech of names in Divrei HaYomim. And these are names like Divrei HaYomim names, as we're about to go into, which the names, as I've told you before, are really ent names. So that we utilize different names for the same person, even though none of them may be his actual proper name, in order to define different elements about that person. So Tana Kulan al Shmo Nikro, Ben Yair. He's called Ben Yair because he was Meir a name Shal Yisroel with his tefillah. He's called Ben Shim'i because Ben Sheshama el tefillato, God heard his tefillah. Ben Kish, he's the one that was he Kish al Sheirach Amim v'niftachu. Now you'll notice that this is backwards, right? But of course it's backwards because we're pretending that they're children. So first he was Hikish al Shari Rachamim, and then Shamat Vilato, and then Ben Shahiraim Shah Yisrael Bit Vilato, which was the last generation, right? So you start with the one that was the knocking. Now, as far as what Shemit is he from? Is he from Yehuda? I mean, you say he's Ish Yehudi Haya, which implies that it comes from Shemit Yehuda. And then at the end of these names, you say Ish Yemine, which is Mashmah Binyamin Gad. Omer of Nachman Mordechai Muchtar ben Yimuso Haya. Look, the point is that Mordechai has many. Rashi says Nimuso means names, so that the way in which we talk about in Greek names, these are the Nimusim. So we want to identify him in various ways that are appropriate for him, including his mother's and his father's Shevet and these other ent names and so on. Omer Rabbi Bachan Omer Yeshua ben Levi. That's because Aviv Binyamin v'imo miYehuda. So obviously we're not talking about the halachic ish dafka Yehudi, but the point is that the mother is from Yehuda. So he therefore, if he's muchtar benimutz, so then we give him all of his yichusim. Rabbanan Amre. Rabbanan say no. This was an indication of how it is that the various families related to him, because they were in competition, Midgarotzum is in the Mishpachat Yehuda, they would claim credit for Mordechai because they said, listen, I mean, it's because of us that ultimately he came to the world, because the truth is that David really should have killed Shimi ben Gera. It was Chayav Nisa, it was a murdered by Malchus, but he let him off. So because David did not kill Shimi ben Gera, so therefore, he ended up coming from us, even though he really is from Binyamin. But the fact is that we are the ones who allowed him to live. Whereas Binyamin Tainet, okay, that's all very nice. But in terms of his actual yichus, he comes from us, Minakasi. Rova Amar Knesset Yisrael Amra. That actually, this is Klal Yisrael. Remember, Knesset Yisrael is not really Klal Yisrael. That's a loose kind of thing. But we won't go into it again. But the fact is that this was being spoken about by Knesset Yisrael itself, because, and it's in the opposite direction. It's not what you're saying, that they were in competition about who gets credit for Mordechai. The question was who to blame for Mordechai, because this Meshuggah almost got the whole Klal Yisrael knocked off, they're saying. So therefore, they were blaming both of them. Take a look what a Yehudi did to me, and take a look what a Yemini ended up giving me. Ma'asala Yehudi, this is all Yehuda's fault. Who is that Yehudi? That is David. And David should have killed Shimi because he didn't kill Shimi. So this guy comes from him. And this Yalimei Mordechai, who got Haman all angry at us, and that almost got us knocked off. And look what it is that Shaul did for us. Ma shilem liyimini, dolo kapre Shaul la'agak. Here was Shaul. He was given the job of getting rid of Amalek, which obviously included Agag Melech Amalek. That was the big one, right? That was the big fish. That's the guy that he leaves alive. And because of that, remember that whole medrash that night they got away with actually impregnating the Shivcha, and because of that, he ended up getting Haman as a grandson. And that was his Yalid Minei Haman to Mitzayr Li Yisrael. So it's, I don't know who to blame more, but it was definitely in the other direction. This was something we had spoken about yesterday. The idea is that it certainly appears that the people that give you these kind of etzes, they're at fault for bad etzes, not for good etzes. And that was the whole beautiful point in the conversation with Reb Shimon bar Yochai and his Talmidim. Reb Yochanan Amar, look, the fact is that Mordechai actually did come from Binyamin. I mean, it's very obvious why we call him a Yehudi. A Yehudi simply means what a Jew means today. He's a Jew. So we call him Yehudi because really that is an approach to life. Anybody who is actually fights against Avodah Zarah, that person is called a Yehudi. And that's the, just like we see actually in Daniel, when they were talking about in the letters, they wrote that Iti Gavrin Yehudiin, and what is wrong with these Gavrin Yehudiin? So after talking about them, so these Jews, so they write this letter. Of course, it's talking about Hanani Mishael Azariah, which refers to it then, of course, with their Babylonian names, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it says, Guvrayu Alan, these guys have no concern for your God. Le'elohach lo polchim. They don't pray to your God. They don't bow down to that beautiful statue that you made out of gold. Anyway, but the point is that he's referring to them as Yehudim because of the fact that they refuse to bow down to you and to your God. So that's why he's called Ish Yehudi, because he actually made this big fuss about not being Mishtachav al Avodah Zarah with Haman. And Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, by the way, you should know it's very interesting because this is brought lahalacha by the Ramah, in which he was asked a shaila, fascinating question, about someone who had been mekabel as a neder. This was a child that had been playing with goyim and so on, had trouble with his parents. Anyway, he was mekabel as a neder that he will not play with goyim anymore. So now the question was that there was this Jewish kid who was a mumer. And yeah, so they had become Christians. So the question is whether he had a right, I mean, they still have a din of a Jew, so was the Neder Chal on them? So Ramah brings from this Gemara that he's not called a Yehudi. The Neder had been to play only with Yehudim, and he wasn't going to play. So this guy is indeed not called a Yehudi. Okay, anyway, right. So we're talking about these crazy names. Speaking about crazy names, the whole Divrei Hayomim is built of crazy names. And the stories of people are expressed in the names that are given to them, even though these people never existed as names. And this is Reb Shimon ben Pazi. His pticha to Divrei Hayomim, he used to say like this. Look, don't try to fool us. Kol dvarecha echarim, v'anu yodim ledorshan. We know that all of these names that you talk about, it's like thousands of names mentioned in Re'ayon, we know that many of these names are referring to one person. And you think that we do not understand how to deal with this, but we do. And this is part of the Brisa that was on the Sefer of Re'ayon that they had to hide because it contained so many secrets that it wasn't right to put out about how detailed these names are, so that he gives examples. Let me show you. And this is the reason we're bringing this, of course, is because we're about to discuss the word Yehudi in this context. So, Ishto Yehudiya Yalda et Yered Avigdor, Vet Hever Avisocho, Vet Yekutiel Avizanoach, and all of the above were B'nei Bitya Bat Paro Ashelakach Moret. Now, this is a crazy story. The pasuk opens up with a description of Kolev ben Yefune, right? Okay. So it's saying, and his Jewish wife, or his wife named Yehudia, gave birth to these children of Yered. Now, how did he become Yered when his name was Kolev? And then it talks about Avigador. He's the father of Gedor, the father of Hever, the father of Socho, the father of Yitutiel, the father of Zanoah. What are the names of the kids? We're talking about all of these fathers. And these are the children of Bitya, who married Mered. So what's going on? First you say your name is Yehudia. Then you say it's really Bitya Bat Paro. So Amai Kori La Yehudia. So why was she called Yehudia? Because she had been koferet in Avodah Zorah. And that's the whole story in the upcoming Parsha. Dechtiva tered bat paro lirchotz al hayor. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, she yorda lirchotz migula lei beit avia. What was bat paro doing there? It says that she was going down lirchotz. She went down to actually be tovelet for l'shem gerus, so that she was dafka being koferet. And then it says she gave birth to, now we're going to see all these people are Moshe. So what do you mean she gave birth to him? She gave birth to him. She only raised him. This teaches us, this shows you that you have actually a din of having raised him. By the way, this is also Nogei Lahalacha, also Shilas, about people that left wills for X amount of things to be given or monies to be given to my son. And they didn't have a son. They had only raised this child. And they, so the question was the contract actually a good contract? Or is it, I mean, you can't really, just because you treat him like a son. So they bring rayas from here, the Peskin. That's not true. It actually has a din of a child, just like it says here in Divrei Hayamim. Anyway, who are all of these people? So getting back to it, so this Yered himself is actually Moshe. Why is he called Yered? So, I mean, here the Gra changes, obviously, correctly. It's not because Yered Lahem Mon Li Yisroel B'yomav, but rather because he was married Tera Li Yisroel. Gedor, why is he called Gedor? Because he was the one that was Goder Pirtzotem Shel Yisrael. He was the one who sort of fenced in all of the disasters that took place in Klal Yisrael, and he was responsible for them and taught them. Chever, because he was Mechaber Yisrael Avim Shebar Shamayim. So he was the Iker Chibur between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Socho, he was Nasem Yisrael Kisuka, he protected them. Yekutiel, Shekivu Yisrael La'el B'yamav, he brought people to be able to have hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zanoah, she's Niach Avonoteim Shel Yisrael. He was the one who was able to get a kapora for Klal Yisrael to get rid of their avonos. And why each one of these is called Avi? Avi Socho, Avi Gedor, Avi. So why that? Avi, Avi, Avi. That's because he was an Av B'Torah. He was an Av B'Chochmah. He was an Av B'Nevi'ut. And he was actually the mark of the whole beginning of these Inyanim. Ve'ela B'nei Bitya, Asher lakach Mered. Oh, Mered? I thought his name was Kolev, not Mered, v'chi Mered Shemo, alo Kolev Shemo. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the point. Yavo Kolev Shemarad be'atzat meraglim. Isn't Kolev the main point of him? Is that he was able to stand up against all of this pressure, to rebel, so to speak, and stick up for his own beliefs, and let him come and marry Bat Paro, who was the one who stood up against her own father and was Marda Begilulei Beit Avia. Now, the pasuk continues on. Asher Agla Mirushalayim Imagola Asher Agleta Amar Rava. Well, so then that means that he was not actually from the Gola. It should have said Asher Aya Minagola Mirushalayim. It means Asher Aglata with the Galus. In other words, so when he saw those who were going into Golos, he chose to go with them, but it was on his own das. He wasn't taken into Golos Bal Korcho, which means that he had initially an understanding that he was meant to be present as a prime mover in that Golos, and therefore it was necessary for him to go. And that means that all of these issues are again part of the Hachana for the Nes of Purim, and that he was even aware of that Hachana. Vayi omein et hadasa, he Esther. Wait a minute. Is she Hadas or she Esther? Make up your mind. What do you mean, he Esther? Which one was she? Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer. So again, this is all about names, the implications of names. So Rabbi Meir Omer, her name, her proper name was Esther. The reason that we refer to as Hadassah is because that is implies the nature of her great level of tzidkus. Because tzaddikim are called hadassim, as we see in the pasuk. Hashem tzaddikim shenikru hadassim v'chenu omer v'hu omeid bein hadassim. So over there we saw this mara of the shechina that was only between hadassim, that was Hanani Mishael v'Azariah. Rabbi Yehuda said, on the contrary, her proper name was Hadassah. Elama nikra shma Esther, Hashem shahaita masteret devareah. Because like this was the main point of the whole opening of the Megillah, is that she refused to tell Achashverosh or anyone anything about where she came from. Shenemar ein Esther mageret et ama. Rabbi Nechemia says, well, I agree that her name was Hadassah, but the reason that she was called Esther is because she was called after the moon, which is Sarah. So because of that, actually the Oruch says, Al Shem Aster, which is a reference to star in Latin. So it's anything, any bright star was called Aster. So that was another pshat. Benazai Omer, the reason that she's called Hadassah is because she was like a Hadassah, because Esther lo aruka v'lo kitzaraita ela benunit ke Hadassah. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korach Omer, Esther looked like a Hadassah because she was green like a Hadassah. So, yirak roket haita v'chut shel chesed marshuch alea, and despite the fact that people generally look at that complexion as coming from Mars, she actually had a chut shel chesed, and because of that, people thought she was very beautiful. So, okay. You will recall, of course, that the central theme of the Megillah is actually this idea of Yirak Roket. I'm assuming that you all remember that, but the main point of the Yirak Roket, besides the obvious interrelationship of the structure of things over here, which is that we go from the elements of Mikra, this is Asher Karahu, and we go from that Karahu into Yikar, which is the story of what happens, that the ends up for the Yehudim to get Yikar. So that was originally Keri, which is Mikra, through Yakar becomes through Yarok becomes Yakar. And the reason for that is, why would we call Purim and in terms of Nes Nistar as being green? And the beautiful reason for that is because what does green have to do with Keri? Has something to do with coincidence and so on? It's very strange. But when you realize that the color green is actually wasted semen, so to speak, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpa to the world is given in light. That's what causes everything to grow and provides for life on this planet. There's only one color of light that doesn't provide for anything, and that's green, which is why the grass looks green. Chlorophyll cannot make use of the color green, so it's reflected back to our eyes. So therefore, it ends up being wasted hashpa, and yet it's the mocker of everything that's beautiful. So Keri through Yerek becomes Yakar. There you go. Anyway, so this is why she was a Yerek Roket. It's not easy being green. <That's right. laughs> Indeed, it's not. Very good. Okay. Anyway, so getting on, I say you can tell people the most beautiful things in the world. They just sit there bored. They're like, yeah, it's hopeless. It's truly hopeless. Give me Kermit the Frog any day. At least there's somebody to talk to. All right. Bunch of bumps. Anyway, so it says that Esther had no mother and father. So, I mean, really, if she had no mother and father, I mean, we don't believe that that doesn't mean that there were no germ cells that gave birth to her. It means that her parents died, obviously. So then why does it have to say immediately afterwards, ubimot avia v'ima, and when her father and mother died, well, obviously they had died. Otherwise, why would it say in avaim? Omer v'acha, no, what this is telling us is that ibarta met avia. The moment that the father impregnated the mother, he died. And the moment that the mother was yalata, meta ima. So therefore, she had no interaction at all that would justify the use of the word father or mother. Because as the moment of birth, her mother died. Okay, but this again is Mekel HaLacha. The same issues get brought up all the time, especially with modern technology. In terms of reproduction, who has the din of a mother? Is it the birth that is the mother? So as I was saying, she's called a mother, but only at birth, whereas the father is called the father at conception, right? Fascinating. That this gives rise to all kinds of questions about surrogate motherhood, or what happens if we're talking about the different stages in which an embryo is transferred, what is considered to be the actual mother, birth mother, or is it the fetal mother? So Mordechai took her as his daughter. Tanamishum Rabbi Meir, that does not mean daughter. It means that he took her for his bayit, that is to say, that he actually ended up marrying her. And take a look at the way that the word bat is used. V'cheinu Omer. So this was the whole message about the Kivsat HaRash to Dovra Melech, and that he had taken Batsheva from Uriah Chiti. And so the Navi tells him that here, this poor man, he raised this little lamb, and the lamb grew up in his household and was part of his family. The poor little lamb would eat from his bread, would drink from his own cup. And she would lie there next to him, and she became a bat. Now, wait a minute. That, is not exactly appropriate. I mean, if she's lying, b'cheko, that generally is a pretty sexual pose. So then how could she be a daughter? That's not a daughter. That must mean, therefore, levayit. So she became his home. So yochanami levayit. So we see that we use that word in this context. Now, this, of course, is the reason that it was very important to keep that relationship quiet. It sure doesn't look very good, does it? So here he takes over this kid, raises her, and now she's his wife. I mean, this is going to go over real well on Me Too, you know? So because of that, no, this is extremely important. I know I'm saying it in a funny way, but it's extremely important for two reasons. Number one, it's a fundamental part of Esther's ability to create kimu v'kiblu, as we'll see. Because what appears to be that type of relationship that is inappropriate, which is exactly what the Maharal says is the nature of Kabbalah Satera, that it seems to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking advantage of this poor little girl. I mean, here, like we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, you know, I find you as this little girl and I raise you, and then I see it's time for love, so I start making love to you. Wait a minute. That this is actually the nature of Kabbalah Satera to Yisrael. I mean, you're taking advantage of us. What are we supposed to do? You know, you're offering us Satera, and this is it's not even conceivable for us not to go through with the relationship. So part of the whole tikkun of Kimu v'Kiblu, in which the relationship to Kabbalah Satera becomes not only tenable, but absolutely definitive, the way the Maharal explains it, which we'll get to when we get later to the Pasuk. But the idea over here is that Esther must be a completely different level of sexual relationships. And this is, comes out later with Ahasuerus and so forth, which we'll see more of. But keep this in mind, meanwhile, because it's really, it sounds like just a small issue, and it's so profound. V'sheva ha-ne'arot, these sheva ha-ne'arot that are specifically ru'uyot latet la mi-beit ha-melech, v'yishanea v'tna'arotel l'tov, beit ha-nashim. So what is the point of sheva? Do we really care? The sheva ne'arot? Omar Rava, very much so. Because remember that Esther is in a completely non-Jewish environment. She doesn't have any opportunity. I mean, she's not going to prepare Shabbos candles or anything, obviously. That's the last thing she's going to do. And there's nothing about her Shabbos that is different, except the person that is the one in charge of the house on Shabbos. So that individual was the only one that she shared Shabbos with, and that meat was for her a simon that it was Shabbos. Vayishanea vet na'arotea letov. In what way did he give her special attention? It says over there, what was the special attention? The special attention was that apparently he gave her special food. So she'achila malcha Yehudi must have given her kosher food. So in other words, basically, she wanted the same kind of food that Hanani Bishova Azariah had. And that was part of the achana for her. Vishmuel Omar, no, on the contrary. Hechila kadli de chazire. He would give her the best bacon that there was. She had eggs and ham in the morning. I mean, this was like serious stuff. You know, this is mamish, a South African breakfast and a braai. I mean, it's a killer. So that's what she was eating. So Rashi says, you know, well, I mean, what was she supposed to do? She had no choice but to eat it. Tosfos says, Chas v'shalom, she didn't eat it. Anyway, all right, so she threw it in the garbage, you know. Anyway, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it was bedavka the zeronim, because that was already established over there back at the time of Daniel and Hanani Mishova Azariah, that they had insisted that they do a little bit of an experiment and that the waiter should take all of the really good food, and he should bring them only this macrobiotic diet. And they told the waiter that you'll see will be healthier than all of the people you give this food to. And they try it out for 10 days, and sure enough, they're looking much healthier, much better than everybody else. The Ebenezer says over there, well, of course, a macrobiotic diet is much healthier. Of course they're going to look healthier. Anyway, so Lemaisa, that was part of the Hakona for Esther also. She said, you know, I also want one of those diets. I mean, what do I want to eat this fat stuff for? Okay, so that's what they gave her. He walked off with all this great food. So then, okay, it talks about what was done for all of these girls. So there was Shisha Chodashim B'Shem and Hamor. So 6 months, they would use these special oil. What is Shemen Hamor? So Reb Chiya Bar Abba Amar Satka, that's myrrh, that's balsam oil. And that was, there's a lot of discussion about this, but it's a type of resin from this tree. So that's called balsam. That's Satka. Ravuna says, no, which wasn't that exotic. It was Shemen Zayit. Shiloi Vishlish, so it was very early oil that was made from very early grown olives that had not yet matured. And Tanya, talking over here about the dinim and the menachas, so it says over there, you can't use anpikanon. And there, what is the meaning of anpikanon? So it says over there, the Rebbe Yehuda explained that anpikanon is shemen zayit shiloi vishlish, and that's not considered to be Roy from Menachos. What was it used for that was so valuable? The lama sachinoto, shemishirat ha-seyarum adinat ha-basar. It's great for depilatory, and it causes the skin to become very smooth and shiny, so it's good for getting these girls all ready for the king. And then ba'erev hiba'a v'boker yishava. So she would come in the evening and go back in the morning, and he would take every one of these girls and spend one night with this girl. One good thing we learn about this guy is that all of his relations with these women were in the nighttime. And so he wouldn't have these relations during the day, only during the night. And this, of course, was the whole point of what it was that they had suggested to him, because as we learned yesterday, what it was that Vashti had done to him was completely destructive. The meaning of a chamato ba'arabo, that the Gemara asks, loma dolak ve'kulehai, it's not just the amount of anger, don't you see? The chamato ba'arabo means that it was eating him up inside. That's the pshat. It was bo. It wasn't just that he was angry. This was something that he could not get over. So not being able to get over it, you understand that the psychosexual implications were dramatic. He was not able to relate to women. So because of that, the Avodim suggested to him that the only thing you can do is rape women. Because that way they can't, first of all, you're totally in charge. You never send them home. You put them into this harem. And because of that, nobody's going to ever know how you do. Don't worry about it. It's fine. And no judgment on you. No women in charge of you. They are simply Kalim and you are the master. Okay, can you handle that? Yeah, okay, that I can handle. And that was part of the Pella, which, as we just mentioned, the specialness of Esther was that she was capable of taking a relationship like that, which is pure, utterly ridiculous rape, in which a woman is just a kli, literally. That's the way he expressed it, Chafila. And she was able to handle that kind of relationship and turn it into something that was real. And in the end, he fell in love with her, which nobody expected. That was like crazy. So he actually loved her. I understand maybe he thought she was the best, but by Yahweh, that's unbelievable. And this was the same sheresh of the issue that allowed Esther, in the end, to be mitakenet the kimu v'kiblu, as Rava says. This was all because of this incredible change. And you want to know the most amazing change of all? This is like the most shocking thing. I'm not even going to tell you. We'll wait till we get there, because it's like a killer. It's like one half of a pasuk, and it just turns the entire Megillah into this insane story. I won't tell you now. All right, then it says, Vati Esther noset chen b'nei koro'eh, and this we've learned before in passing, that Omer Rabbi Elazar, how do we know this? Malamit shekolecha v'yachad nidmeta lo ke'umato. She is Hungarian. Vati lakach Esther al ha'melech ha'chashverosh al beit malchuto, v'chodesh ha'asiri hu chodesh teveit. And why is that important? Because it's the yerach she'nehne guf min ha'guf. It's a great time to sleep together. Because like this, if it's hot, so there's always that extra problem of unpleasant heat. But this is the month in which it's really nice and chilly outside. So it was a good time to get Achashverosh turned on to Esther. Vayehav ha-melech et Esther mikol ha-nashim, vatisachen v'chesed lefanav mikol ha-betulot. Now, that's weird. I mean, are we talking about Nashim? Or are we talking about Betulot? And we're talking about two separate things? I mean, you know, if you're talking about one, then talk about that one. I mean, if the issue is Betulot, so then talk about the Betulot. But why are we mentioning two separate classes of women? What would that mean? Amarav, it's exactly what it means. Because basically, Achashverosh found in Esther whatever he was dreaming of. So any fantasy was supplied by Esther. So whatever he wanted an experienced woman, he had one. He wanted a pure bitula, she's a virgin, just like a virgin. Whatever he thought, of course, this was all part of Esther. And Esther, mivakeshet, davar, there's nothing that she wants. There's nothing that she asks for. This entire idea of coming without any previous av, aim, and just being completely compliant is exactly what Achashverosh needed. It was the only thing that could possibly work for Achashverosh, was utter compliance. That was the opposite of Vashti. So this was like an amazing thing to him, right? So then, Vayasa melech mishte gadol, et mishte Esther. So, and then it says, Vahanacha lemedinot asa, vayitin mas'et ki yad ha-melech. And then it goes on to say, ubi kaveitz betulot shenid. What? Like that whole pasuk, what is that talking about, Bichlal? Ah, that's amazing. Because what happened was like this. He was really desperate to find out who this woman is. And remember, Mordechai had told her, never, never let anybody know what you are, because that's the whole point. You are being positioned for the smashing climax of crash, I am a Jew. And that was the killer. You can't put that out now. So he makes this gigantic party, invites everybody in, and we're going to introduce the new Queen Esther, who comes from Esther. I really can't. I'm so sorry. Anyway, so that didn't work. Okay. So then he decided he's giving off and nobody has to pay the karga this year. The karga was this head tax that everybody had to pay in those days just for the right to exist. And it's all in honor of the great Queen Esther, who comes from... not me. Anyway, so that didn't work. So then, Shara Pardishne Velogayale sends out gifts to all of the noblemen and so on in honor of Esther, who comes from... I would love to talk. Anyway, so that didn't work either. So what's the next part about Behika Beitz Betulot Sheni? So it's crazy. I mean, I thought he was very happy with Esther. Why is he making this additional Miss Universe contest? Ah, because Ozir Shokal ate some Mordechai. He went to ask Mordechai, what the heck am I supposed to do? I can't figure out what's going on with this woman. There's only one thing to do, says Mordechai. The one thing that will make her give in is you can only get her jealous by looking at the legs of another woman. Now, if she sees you looking at somebody else, then she's going to tell you. So he goes and he makes this other Miss Universe contest. She still doesn't say anything. Now, this is insane, is it not? I mean, Mordechai the Gadol Hador comes up with this brilliant idea. Let's have another rape fest. Why not? What, is he crazy? What is going on over here? So the amazing thing is, Rabbi Isaac, is that it was this pasuk that made the Megillah possible. There was no way that the story could have happened without this. And that's what's so unbelievable. Remember that Ahasuerus is basically psychologically incapable. He is terrified. Because not only was he HaMolech from the beginning, in which we describe everything the Megillah is in terms of his trying to survive in this Malchus, get people to back him. Then he goes through this horror with Vashti. Now he doesn't have any legitimacy. Now he's terrified of women. This woman has corralled him in, and now he suddenly finds himself in love. He announces that she's the queen, and now she won't tell him what's it all about. I mean, if anything, got the guy terrified, suspicious, right? I mean, remember, when we're talking about suspicious, he wasn't just suspicious. He was exactly the Mida Keneged Mida of Shaul, the Shaul's granddaughter. Shaul became insanely paranoid. He became insanely paranoid. So what he did was, as we see later on the Megillah, he's got guys with machine guns that are standing around him so that if anybody walks in, he's going to shoot them. That's right. Sorry, no appointment. Okay. So here comes his dear wife, right? Okay. And she's walking in calmly, or at least it looks calmly to him. She's walking in calmly, and he's got the machine guns out. Okay, boys, get ready. Now, tell me what you think he thinks. Okay. She hasn't been telling us a thing, because I knew all along she was a mole. The bitch hasn't said a word, has she? Now it's going to come. Get ready, boys. She's coming in. Sure, she's just walking in, right? Hello, dearest. I just wanted to invite you to a party. Okay, I mean, obviously, that's going to be the end because this is the minute. Now, Mordechai understands the only possible way of addressing this issue is by having her replaced. So he says to Ahasuerus, look, if you're really worried about her, and she's a mole, replace her. Take another party. The moment that she sees you're ready to find somebody else, I mean, obviously the whole plan falls to pieces. So at that point, she's going to come up with something. Then you'll know. Not a word. Okay, so in other words, even if it means putting somebody in your place, that was the one thing that allowed him to believe that she is not here with an agenda. She is what she says she is. And even then, it was like this amazing nace that, you know, Vatigab Rosh Hasharbit and so on, because that was the moment in which he had to. And you'll notice that so many things change at that moment. That was the moment in which he had to finally trust for the first time in the entire history of this thing. He trusted someone. And that became the beginning of the end for Haman, was that trust, because he never trusted anybody else. And at the end of that trust, we'll see that that is the only thing that allowed the real relationship to develop with her, with Yisrael, to listen to her, to accept what she was saying. It completely changed his life. So what it was that Mordechai did now, as we're going to see later, laid the grounds for the entire Nes of Purim. The Beikabetz, Betulot Shenit, which seems to be a throwaway line. And like, what's the Gemara saying? That Mordechai said, this is what you should do. Exactly. It's almost unbelievable. And the complexities of the stories and the depths of the thinking and the preparation of getting things worked out in advance are almost incredible. So he says, that's what you got to do. Vafilo achalo gayim. Because right after that, ubi hikabeitz, betulo chenit, ein esterema, get it malarata. What does one have to do with the other? That's the whole point. The hikabeitz was meant to get her to expose herself. And because she didn't, it no longer mattered. Keep hitting the mic. Omar Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv lo yigra mitzadik enav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never takes his eyes off a person who's a tzaddik. It never is just a throwaway line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything that that person does makes an impact l'dorei deres. B'schar tzniut shaita ba berachel zachtav yatzah mimena sha'ul. So because of the tremendous tznius in Rachel, tznius, this is the girl that gives a kiss right at the beginning. What kind of tznius is that? You tell that in Beis Yaakov, man, they're going to throw you out on the street. I mean, they're not supposed to even say over the story. This is tznius? Good Lord. All right, so the Gemara is going to ask, what is the tznius in Rachel, right? But because of that tzniut, yatsa mimena sha'ul. And bischar the tzniut shaita ba b'sha'ul, zachav yatsat mimena ester. Ask the Gemara, so what is this tznius in Rachel? My tznius taitaba berachel. And in examining this Gemara, we discover a completely new definition of the nature of tznius. Dichtiv. Vayaged Yaakov Rachel, ki achi aviyahu. And what? He tells Rachel he's her father's brother. He's not his father's brother. He's her father's nephew. Falo ben achot aviyahu. Ella, here's the story. Omarla. Min Savali, you're going to marry me? She says, sure, I'd love to marry you, but it ain't going to happen. Because mi'u abaramahu, v'lo yachalatle, you'll never be able to outdo him. He's going to prevent our marriage. Omala, nonsense. Achiva ni baramaut. I'm just as good as him in this kind of stuff. I will outthink him. Outmatch him, I should say. Amra Loisa, she said to him, what? I thought you were like a good guy. How could you possibly be in his class of Ramaut? Mishori le tzadike le seguye b'ramayuta? So you're allowed to do that and to be an expert? Amra, are you kidding? Absolutely. What, don't you ever retell him? Im navar titavar ve'im ikesh titapal. So yes, with a person who's clear, you act with purity. But with somebody who is an ikesh, he's deceitful, so be a crook. Okay, what do you think he's going to do? Says Yaakov to Rachel. My Ramayut. Omrale, look, I can tell you one thing for sure. Itli akta de kshisha minoi. So I got my older sister. There's no way he's going to let me marry you before my sister. So in order to make sure that that doesn't happen, he gives her these secret code words that she's supposed to say to let him know who she is. And that way, if it's Leah, so then he'll know that it's Leah. Anyway, when that night arrived at the wedding, and sure enough, Laban was going to put in Leah for her, so she says to herself, oh my God, now my sister's going to be so embarrassed by this. If he finds out that the girl was not her, she's going to be publicly destroyed. So she gave over these code words to Leah. So, Misartina, the Simon ibn Yallah. Vayne dichti, vayi baboker, vinehi Leah. It says, so it was in the morning. Behold, she is Leah. What do you mean, behold, she is Leah? And during the night, she wasn't Leah. How did she turn into Rachel during the night? He had no way of knowing that she was Leah and not Rachel. And therefore, she was Zerchli Yatsu Venashol. Now, how is that tzniut? That's nothing to do with tzniut, right? Okay. So, why is it tzniut? Incredible explanation. The tzniut is that she did not want it to be known that she and he had simani b'neihem. What does that mean? What do you mean? It says in the Gemara that that's not what it was. Well, she didn't want her sister to be embarrassed. So obviously, the issue is that it would have been extremely easy for her to avoid her sister's embarrassment and to make her father give her to Yaakov. All she needed to do was to tell Lavan, look, Dad, it's a good trick, but it ain't going to work. We're ahead of you. She told him in advance what's going to happen. She knew this was going to happen. So what do you mean? And when she sees that she's coming out, she went, what does that mean? There was an easy way to avoid it. Ah, says Rashi. But if she would have done that, then that would have meant that Lavan would have known that the two of them had the kind of relationship that was this detailed in terms of their future intimacy. And he, she knew, would look at that and say, yeah, trust these teenagers. Sort of 80 years old, not quite a teenager, but that's the same idea. Okay, so that is the incredible insight into the meaning of tznias. It means that I do not expose what is valuable to me to people who do not value it. Because that itself is such a demeaning thing that people should take what is meaningful to you and look at it as junk. There's nothing more hurtful. So because of that, we now understand the meaning of tznias. Now this is going to be, it means non-exposure of the valuable. This, by the way, remember, is that I've told you about this amazing thing about what Stephen King writes in the Hakdama to the book.
Stand by Me.
It wasn't called Stand By Me, but I know Stand By Me. The movie was called Stand By Me. Okay.
The body.
The body. Sorry, didn't hear you.
It was called The Body, Rebbe.
Yes, it was called The Body, correct. So, in any event, the whole story over there was about tznias. Mamish was the nature of the story was tznias. And he writes at the opening that it was very difficult for him to publish this book in the first place. And if you ask me why, he says, because 2 billion Chinese couldn't care less. Amazing. So he himself understood precisely the nature of tznias when he wrote that. And if you recall, the turning point in the book and in the movie was the one thing that wasn't shared by the boy in the story, by the hero in the story, was meeting up with this deer in the middle of the night. And he just felt it meant so much to him. He felt he couldn't share it with his friends. Everything else he had shared, that he couldn't share. Amazing insight. So that is the getter of tznias. So where was the tznias in Shaul that we said? Because you're telling me, Shaul. What was the big tznias of Shaul? So you would think, and everybody thinks when you ask, that the tznias in Shaul is that when he was called upon to accept the malchus, he went hiding in the baggage room, right? No, wrong. That is not tznias. That was protection. That's not tznias. The tznias was that when Shmuel told him, when he went to find out what had happened to Zaveda, Shmuel told him this whole night long they had spoken of what it meant and that he was going to be the melech and he gave him over all of the yesedas and the malchus and so on. That, when he came home, Dvar HaMelucha lo higid lo asher amar Shmuel. That which Shmuel had said, he did not expose. So it was meaningful to him in a completely different way. And it was a special relationship because Shmuel had spent the entire night with him. And it was not just that he gave him a piece of information. He didn't want to say over what Shmuel had said. That was the point. Asher amar Shmuel. Because of that, Zachra v'yatzeh b'meno Esther. And that's Esther. Constantly not exposing. Fine. That which was valuable to her. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, kishakadosh baruch hu pasek gedula l'adam, you should know that this is something once HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees this is anagas and he gives it to someone, it's given forever. That he makes the person set in that position forever. and they are raised up above everything. But this is the continuation of the lo yigra mitzad dekeinav. So in other words, if what happens is something that is neger l'dares, it's given over as gedula l'dares. And then if the person gets stuck up because of it and he thinks that he really deserves this, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu lays him low. Shenema v'im asurim b'sikim, that if afterwards they find themselves caught up b'chavle oni, yokadum b'chavle oni, so then that's because they were v'yigbohu. That's how Rashi learns. That's the v'yigbohu. Personally, I suspect that the correct pshat is that since the word of the Vayigbohu is the pasuk of Vayoshivim Lanetzach Vayigbohu, and then only afterwards we have the next pasuk Ve'im Asurim Bezikim Yilachdun B'chav Le'oni, I think that the real meaning is a tremendous, tremendous, beautiful insight of Chazal. And that means Ve'im Asurim Bezikim. If these people get caught up in chains, that is the mocker of imhegis dato, not the word vayigbo. So vayigbo means that they are raised on high and they are indeed choshev and exalted because of this. But if that exaltation leads them to be locked up in chains, what is being locked up in chains? Being stuck up. If you're stuck up, you're locked up in chains. It's amazing. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mochiach him with oni. That's what it says. B'imas v'mazikim, then yilachdun b'chav le'oni. I think that's the real pshat. Anyway, that ma'amar Mordechai, Esther osah. What does that mean, the ma'amar of Mordechai? It means that he paskened halachas for her. So that means, Omer b'yirmiyah shaitamar adam nidala chachamim. She would show over her dam nidais to ask the shayros whether she's tamea, she's taira. And the question is, why was she being shayros on dam nida? For what? For a goy? Is there an Indian not to be a nida for a goy? This is very fascinating. There's a shayla from the Middle Ages about a Jewish woman who was shacking up with a non-Jewish man. And she wanted to get her shaylas answered about her nidais. Because she said, if she has any kids, she doesn't want them to be pegumim, because she, you know, everybody had these deep sense of what a ben nida was and so on. She didn't want her children to be pegumim as a nida. So instead of just writing back, what's the point of not being a nida? No, everybody accepted that was a serious shayla. They just said that you're supposed to, you don't help people go ahead and do things that are usher and make them feel better about it. Let them die. Let them go ahead and destroy themselves. It's very interesting. There's also a big shayla, also a middle ages shayla, about this prostitute in town that all of the Jewish boys were going to, and she was Jewish. And so the question was whether they should at least have her go to the mikveh, so people wouldn't be nikshal in nidas. And they also paskin, let her not go to the mikveh. Actually, over l'rosh v'yamo, they want to go to a whorehouse, let them suffer for it. It's interesting, the same psak. But in any event, apparently, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that she was roya nidas because she was going to go end up sleeping with Mordechai. It could actually mean she was bara nidas, even in terms of anogav nidas versus Achashverosh. She was just as loyal to him as she had always been. What does that mean? It means she would get up from sleeping with Achashverosh, she went to the mikveh, v'tovelet, v'yoshevet b'chekosho Mordechai, and then she would go like underground to get into Mordechai. Obviously, she didn't really need to go to the mikveh, but it means that just in terms of, oh God, I feel I need to go to the mikveh when I walk into that town. That's exactly what this means. It's just to be, make yourself ruya to have relations with Mordechai. It wasn't a Tyre of Atuma thing.
Now,
What does this have to do with Bayamim Ahem? So what exactly was going on over here? Omer Pchia Barav, Omer B'Yochanan. Hikzif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon Al Avadav La'asot Ritzon Tzadik Umanu Yosef. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu got this whole story with Paro getting angry under Sarah Mashkin and the Sarah Ofim, and he throws them into jail in order to be exposed to Yosef. And that becomes Vishami Tanu Na'ar Ivri. And why did you need to have two of them? Because obviously one of them had to be killed. In order for Yosef to establish his bona fides, so he needed to give two completely opposite kind of interpretations. It's why each one of them saw the other one. And had he only had that one and interpreted it for good, then the guy would for sure believe that he only did that on the hope that he would end up living and that then he was going to fool him into giving a recommendation to Ahasuerus. Dr. Paro, right? So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch had to throw both of them into prison. Okay, so then he did this, La'asot Neis L'Tzadik. So that was to get Yosef out. But he also did the opposite. So he got the Avodim angry with the master, and that is Big Son Reseresh, in order to do a Neis to a Tzadik, and that was referring to Mordechai. Dechtiv Vayivada Davar L'Mordechai, and that ended up becoming the Big Schus. For Mordechai now. Okay, so how did exactly did this happen? So it happened like this. Om Reb Yochanan, Big Son Vaseresh, they were two Tarsim Havu. Now, we're not really sure whether Tarsim are in Barnea's neighborhood or not. So there's some of Farshim that say yes, some of Farshim that say no. And that depends where Tarsi is. So Barnea, where's Tarsi is? Oh my gosh, not only is it not in Barnea's neighborhood, it's not on Barnea's planet. This is serious stuff. So because of that, they were sure. They understood that even Barnea wouldn't speak Lashon Tarsi, so they could freely speak between themselves and nobody would understand a word that they're saying. But little did they know that Mordechai was one of the, he was Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. What's in the Shar HaMelech? Sanhedrin is always in the Shar. They didn't know that he was a member of the Lishkas HaGozis. And as a member of Lishkas HaGozis, he needed to be a Baki and Shivim Lashon. Not for nothing was he called Mordechai Bilshan. And not for nothing was this taking place in Bavel, the place of the Shivim Lashonis. And not for nothing had he been Gola Mida'ato, recognizing that his unique talents would be required. And so sure enough, this was the first stage of those talents. Come along, big son of a Seresh, while you're Misaprim B'Lashon Tursi. And he hears them saying to one another, this is insane what's been going on. She's got this guy so turned on that all he's doing all night long is calling for room service, more champagne, more champagne. We can't go on like this. We haven't had a moment of rest since she's come along. This has got to end. So miyom Shabbat zo loreinu shena beinenu. Bovenatil eres b'sefa kadesh yamotos. We got to get rid of him. So let's poison him. Now, hein lo hayu yodim ki Mordechai miyoshvei lishkata gazita ya v'hayu yodeh b'shimin lashan. So he understood. So Omar Lo, so anyway, Big Son of Aseresh, continue the conversation. So one says to the other one, but we can't do that because one of us is then going to have to disappear from their job. And then it will be clear that we're doing something. They'll trace it back. The police will uncover it. They'll see that nobody checked in on the clock and they'll realize that it must have been me. Now, Lo, we can't. So how are we supposed to do this? So the other guy says to him, okay, I'll check you in on the clock so that no one will know that you didn't check in. And that way you'll be able to go and you'll put the poison in. Behind the dichtiv, that's how they found out. Because it says that then they investigated. After Mordechai squealed, it says that they investigated and they found out that indeed, it should say, that the one who was checked in by the other one had not really been there. So they had witnesses in the end. No, he wasn't there. So how come the time clock reports that he was there? So that exposed the entire thing. So this is how that happened. So then it says, Achar ha-devorim ha-ele. So which are these devorim ha-ele? Why is there Gidal ha-melech ha-chashverosh, ha-taman ben ha-mdasah, ha-imaseyo? Which things? Like, what is the connection between these two issues? Because, I mean, Haman had shown up from before as Memuchan. No, this is much later. Omar Rava, this means now that everything is in place, because the whole Megillah is about being in place. So now all of the factors and all of the actors are all ready to click into position for that final anatomy of a Purim. So, after everything is now in place to make sure that nothing goes wrong with Klal Yisrael, because Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maket Yisrael Alim Kein Borei Lem Refua Techila Ezra Shlokus Tzad Shenema Kirofili Yisrael. First, I'll make sure that the Refua there. Then we'll punish Ephraim, and then V'nigla Avon Ephraim in the punishment, so that now they can do Teshuva, and the whole Refua will be ready for them. But when it comes to the Umot HaOlam, that's not the way it is. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mocking them, and if, you know, they do the Teshuva, fine. Obviously, I'll respond. Shinemar v'nagav Hashem et Mitzrayim nagov v'rafo. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nagav Mitzrayim. And he continues hitting them until it's time to fix them, if they do the Teshuva. So it says, v'yivez beinav v'shloach yad v'mordechai levado. Why is that? Ki yigidu lo et am Mordechai. So then it says, from Mordechai, Am Mordechai, and then it says, Vayevakeshem an Lashmid et Kol HaYudim, Asher Bechol Malchut, Achashverosh, Am Mordechai. What's going on? Amar Rava? No, because this is exactly what happened. First, he went crazy over Mordechai. Then he realizes, no, it's not enough to destroy Mordechai. There's an Am of Mordechai. Who's the Am Mordechai? That's the people that are close to him. That's the Rabbanan that he's always with, these rabbis. At the end, it now becomes Gzeir on Klal Yisrael. He peel pur hu ha-goral. And what happens with this pur, the goral? Miyom liyomi chodesh lechodesh. Lechodesh teimasar hu chodesh adar. Woo! Kivan shalaf ha-pur b'chodesh adar. Samach simcha gedola. Omar, this is amazing. Now, Fali Pur B'Yerach Shemait Bo Moshe. This is when that madman Moses died. V'lo haya yodea, she'b'shiva ba'adar meit, u'b'shiva ba'adar nolad. But he didn't understand that. Remember what Moshe Rabbeinu said, which is, ben me'ah ve'esrim shana v'lochi hayom noladati v'hayom ani meit. So basically, it was not a normal Misa. It was a Misa that was expressive of the birth, and therefore was dafka, a very auspicious mazel for Bnei Yisrael. Not to mention that, of course, Moshe was the one that had been the disaster for Amalek. And therefore, if we're going to be able to do anything here, it's going to be with Moshe. And this is why the Gemara in Chulin, remember? Esther Minatera Minayin. Mordechai Minatera Minayin. What about Shaul Minatera? Because that's the Kain al Rosh Hashal Adam, that's a reference to Shaul, as Rashi says. And Moshe Menatar Aminayim. Moshe Menatar Aminayim, with Mordechai, with Esther, with Shaul, with Haman. Yes. So therefore, he was very happy. Now, Ben goes on to say, Yeshno Amechod, Omar Rava. Oh my God, this guy knows how to put in so much Lashon Hara with just a word, like it's all editorial skills. This guy is almost as good as the New York Times. So Leka de Yoda Lishnak Bisha Kehaman. Omar Lay. So he says to Achashverosh, let's get rid of him. Omar Lay, we can't get rid of him. Mistafina Melohav, the Lolavi Bikidov become, oh, you know what's happened to people that tried to get rid of the Jews? Oh man. Just take a look at what happened back there to good old Paro. Tell old Paro. Yeah, right. I don't want to be that song. And I mean, all of these people, some cheriv, I mean, disasters. I can't do it. I'm terrified. Omar Leis, Omar says, Yesh no amechad. Yesh no means they're fast asleep. Yesh no min amitzvot. They've been sleeping on the job. The only reason that God was with them is because they took mitzvahs as seriously. You notice any mitzvahs lately? Nah. Omar Leis, okay, but, you know, not all of them, but itu rabbanan. Yes, says Omar. Did you forget the din of arvas? What, you forgot the whole din of Shechem? You forgot what happened in the eye and with Nineveh? I keep doing that. With Yericho? Omar Lay, Amechad, they're all one nation. So now, I know what you're thinking. You might be thinking, Karachani Oseba Malchutcha, I mean, if I kill out the Jews, so that's going to be a disaster. It'll destroy a whole area. No, they're mifuzar. Mifuzar and Ben Amim, they're all over the world. Shema Tomar Itana Aminayu. You think that there's something to be gotten out of these Jews? Miforad. They are kipreda zosh enal seperot. They're like a preda. They are like mules. They don't have any fruit. They don't have any real production. So maybe you'll say there's like a whole area that's made up of Jews. It'll be very noticed. And then, you know, I mean, that kills the public relations stuff. No, they're all over. And you know what? They're different from every other nation. Nobody's going to support them. They don't eat our food. They don't marry our women. They don't allow our women to marry us. And what's worse is that every time it's time to volunteer for some very important national goal, you come to the Jewish house, they say Shahi, meaning Shabbos Hayom, sorry, we're not allowed to work today. And then you figure, oh, it ain't Saturday today. They say, yeah, but it's Pai, it's Pesach Hayom. I mean, there's always something. The Jews always have something. The Kilos Yaakov points out that that's crazy. That's really nutty. So anyway, but yeah, so for sure it's inappropriate to keep them around. Listen, these guys, they eat and drink all the while making fun of the Malchus. You know that? Here, take a look. If a fly falls into their soup, they'll throw out the fly and they'll lick the soup. But if you, we were talking about a glass of wine, if you, king, just touch that wine, they'll throw it in the garbage. Can you imagine? So obviously, then it becomes Yayin Esser. So, Im Adoni HaMelech Nogea B'Kosor Shalach Mim Chofto B'Karka V'Eno Shoteo. Im Al HaMelech Tov Yikatev Le'Abdam V'Aseret Alafim Kikar Kesev. So what's he giving now? These Aseret Alafim Kikar Kesev. And this beautiful explanation of how Aseret Alafim exactly equal the amount of the Shkolim that was given in the Midbar. Anyway, Omer Shlokish, Goluy V'Yadu Alifnei Mishamar V'Haya Olam. Shatid Haman Lishkol Shkalim al Yisrael, and of course this was all in order to prevent the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Shkalim for the Beis Hamikdash to undo Haman in advance, because he's Mimuchan after all. Lefichach Hikdim Shikleim Lishkalav. Behind it, it's Nan Be'achad Ba'adar Mashmi'im al Shkalim. That's exactly when we have to start, before Haman starts. That would be the point. You know what these guys are like? You got two people. They're neighbors. One of them has got this big mound of dirt, and he would love to get his field flattened out. Now, the guy next door, he's got this big hole in his ground, and he's been looking for years. If I could only get that guy to give me that dirt. So anyway, the Baal HaCharitz is saying to himself this whole time, I pay for that dirt. And the guy with all the dirt would say, oh man, if I only had a place to dump this dirt, I'd pay for it. Anyway, one day they meet each other and they finally let on to the fact that, you know, I really would be willing to pay for your dirt. The other guy says, are you kidding? Take it. So he says, take it for free, halavai. Oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this moment. So basically, when Achashverosh says, don't give me any money, just kill him. I've been waiting for somebody to take charge over here. Hey, L'chaim, everyone. What a story. What an incredible story.